June 15, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we will study from the Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. These are the foundation of Christianity and the very basic things that Jesus taught us. So these things are biblical and very important, but we should not stop here, and we should go beyond that. And we should strive toward perfection, as the verse says. And we have covered, as we have covered in the previous section of the Hebrews, there are some teachings that are milk, and there are some other teachings that are solid food, and which is harder to digest. And the Bible recommends that we eat solid food and not keep drinking milk like a babe. But the reality is, the most churches now teach milk. For example, we learn different things in grade school and in junior high school. You start learning English in junior high. But nowadays, they start teaching it in elementary school. I remember they gave us some special notebook for practicing English to teach us how to write the alphabet. And since I was a slow learner, I could not spell apple even after a year of studying English in school, and my teacher finally scolded me. But in college, I ended up majoring English. Well, I did not keep practicing how to spell apple. I moved on to a different level. So you need to do the same with the Bible teachings and Bible studying. You need the basic for sure, but you need to move on to more advanced things. If you keep eating solid food, if you keep eating soft food, your teeth and jaw get weak. But if you eat solid food, your teeth get strengthened. So you can say the same thing with the Word of God. If you encounter some mysterious expressions and difficult parts, if you keep praying for understanding, then the wisdom will be given to you. For example, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the prophecy of the 70 weeks, and at the end of the 70 weeks, the Antichrist would emerge. I didn't understand where this 70 weeks came from. And biblically speaking, it has been 7,000 years since Adam, so I kept praying for understanding. And God revealed this to me bit by bit. It says 70 weeks in Japanese translation, but in the original language it says 70 and 7, or 7 times 70. And one day I suddenly got a revelation, and I realized that there's another section in the New Testament where 7 times 70 is mentioned. And I was going to another church back then, and I didn't have an English Bible with me, but the lady in front of me had an English Bible, so I borrowed her Bible, and I looked it up, and I found where 7 times 70 was mentioned, and I felt like God answered my prayer for understanding. Do you know what section that is? This is the part where Peter asked if they should forgive their brother up to 7 times, and Jesus said, not 7 times, but 7 times 70. So some people interpreted that means without limit, but Jesus did not say that. He said 7 times 70. So what I understood is that 70 weeks was the duration of the God would endure the sins of his children, but this is not without a limit. And after this time, he would not remain silent any longer and believe God's wrath will come upon the sinful churches. But as the Bible says, if you don't stay with milk and keep seeking to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, it will be revealed to you. Jesus said the mystery of the kingdom is not for everyone to understand, but for some people, it will be revealed to them. If people read the Bible without the leading of the Spirit, it might not mean anything. But if you read it with your spiritual eyes opened, many things are revealed to you. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. This is a hard saying. Some people say and extreme things like Luther saying forgiveness is still available even after you have killed tens of thousands of people. But after having known God fully and yet he falls again, there is a harsher consequence for such people, I believe. I think that's what this section is saying. They crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. And I think this is what some Christians and churches are doing now, and those who participate will have the consequence like what we just read, because it says clearly that it is impossible to renew them again. I know some might think that this is very harsh, but the Bible also says this is the Bible also says this in the Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And in Greek, this passage was written using a tense which can be interpreted as past, present, or future. So it is possible that this will happen again. And this matches with the Hebrews we just read. So I believe the people will crucify Jesus again, like people did 2,000 years ago. And every single one of them was later destroyed by the Romans. And the whole scenario will repeat once again at the end of the New Testament church era. The revelation is not a prophecy for Jewish people. It is for the church and the body of Christ, as seven churches are mentioned in the beginning. In the New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees defamed their own God, and I see that in the Bible everywhere I read and anywhere I read. It says that the church of Jesus Christ will fall, and they will crucify him again at the end time. And I believe this Sodom and Egypt is a metaphor of the church. People think they're doing God a favor and being spiritual, but in God's eyes, they are Sodom and Egypt. Sodom is, as you know from Genesis, is a place of homosexuality, where the angel of the Lord stay at Lot's house, and men of the town came to his house because they wanted to lay with them. And church nowadays is becoming like Sodom. I believe it was last month President Obama said to legalize same-sex marriage in the United States. So once legalized, those who believe in the Bible and protest against the decision would become illegal. I saw on YouTube that many Christian protesters got arrested for protesting at the gay rally. So I believe that the church will become like Sodom. When Jesus was crucified, the religious people of that time openly said that Jesus was a criminal who was just starting up a cult. His charge was the King of the Jews, written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And I think the same thing will happen in the sense that church will openly speak to the public to discredit Jesus and tell people that he is just a man and he is not the Savior. That's what crucifying Christ means. But what the Hebrew is saying is that if we take part in such defamation, we will not be able to go back to the original faith simply by repenting. This is an unforgivable sin. Hebrew verse 7. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God, but If it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Here the earth is Christian, and the rain that falls on it is the Holy Spirit. If something good grows on it, it is useful and receives God's blessings. But if nothing good grows on it, despite receiving the same rain, it will be cursed and burned. Because if you are Christians, in whichever church you attend, we all should have the same rain falling on us. So some people would go to a church and all he does is to complain, and other would go to a church and then be blessed and become blessing to others. So the outcome depends on what fruit you bear. We are now trying to issue a newsletter for non-believers, and if this is what God wants, and then we do well according to His will, and we will be blessed. And as for the earth that bears thorns, do you know where else thorn is mentioned? Crown of thorns Jesus wore when He was crucified. Giving Jesus the crown of thorns is the one who bears thorns as their fruit, despite of rain of Holy Spirit. And you know the consequence of Jerusalem after that, for it was completely destroyed by fire, by the Romans, and not a single man was alive after the destruction. So when you replace that with modern-day New Testament Christians, those who bear thorns might be judged by fire, just like what happened in the city of Jerusalem. So we have to see what fruit we are bearing. We have been translating our newsletter into Korean and English, and they are well received. The translator told me that it helps them to strengthen her faith. So it is the fruit we are bearing. Verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Here it says, God does not forget our work. There are some people who never forget your good deed and always remain grateful. And you can buy someone a cup of tea and then he will still thank you a day after. I think God's character is like that and even more magnified. As I have told you, I got kicked out of my previous church. And I got blessed for having been there, but it was also a very, very difficult thing. And I was going to school to become a pastor, but that also did not work out. But God was faithful and eventually led me to a place where I could serve Him more. And I got kicked out of the last place because of the revelation I was receiving about the end time. And people call me cult and then say all kinds of hurtful things. But now that I'm where I am receiving all the revelations much more than other renowned churches and pastors. So I am wondering if this is God's way of restoring me and blessing me in the area where I was put to shame by other people. And this is not only for me, but for everyone, since the Bible says that He does not forget and He is faithful. So when it comes to me, I forget everything what other people did. No, I remember what people do for this church, and only after they are gone I realize the work they have been doing. But God always remembers. So whatever we do and whatever we have suffered, He always remembers, and He has a way to restore things. So be encouraged, since you are not losing anything when we serve the Lord.